This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Payne is the owner of this business. He's in Elkton, Virginia. He also has a lure line, Mountain Rebel Lures and Baits. He's got a great coyote trapping video. He's also a fur buyer in Virginia. Anything that you're looking for and your trapping needs, give Scott a call and he'll get it right out to you. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're an ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you.
Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it. Fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light. Sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dig. Shotgun toter, Republican voter, Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA, cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Welcome to Trapping Across America. This is your host, Clint Locklear. We are going to be having a round table kind of thing, I guess you could say, with the guys from Trapping TV. We had our last episode, and if you haven't seen it, and you've never seen Teddy Bear Trapping before, I would definitely go to Wolfer Nation, the channel on YouTube, and check it out. I will be posting it on Wolfer Nation this weekend, so you can see it there. But Scott, Mike, me, our cameraman Will, Norm, and Brandon are sitting around up at the PTA. Now, this was kind of a very unscripted, very unorganized, very it's just do this type thing. So it's going to have to be cut up some because we went a few places that just doesn't need to be on here. So I'm gonna have that at the end of the night show, and if you know, we have 13 episodes of Trapping TV that it's on our YouTube channel, which is Wolfer Nation. You can subscribe to it. So if you're into that thing and you watch a lot of YouTube, if you subscribe to Wolfer Nation, every time if you mark everything right, every time that there's a new trapping video come out, it'll just let you know by email, then you can click over on the link and watch it. So that's what's going to be at the end of the show. We have a few things to go before we get to that. Just reminding everybody, I'm going to be up at Little Valley, New York this year, but giving a demo on how to make a living trapping and how to make money trapping. It's a totally different type of demo than I've ever done. Not sure exactly where it's going to end up at, but I'm going to be extremely open and honest about it. And if it's something that you're kind of looking at or thinking about or dreaming about or whatever, you ought to really try to get to Little Valley, New York, because it's going to be a really good show, and there's going to be a lot of other great demos besides mine that's up there, and it's just going to be a good time. So hope to see everybody in Little Valley, New York. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something that there's some guys in Maine that really need our help. It's Humane Society is, they've really been picking on Maine. And, you know, if you hadn't been following, when you have bad winters the way that we've had them the last few years, the ice freezes between us and Canada. The lynx come over on the ice, and now they're in, you know, in a place there's usually not a lot of lynx. And because some trappers have caught them coyote trapping and things like that, Humane Society and everybody got up in arms about it, and they made it where, you know, that's an endangered species. Now, right across the river in Canada, you know, they're 4 deep and piled 16 high, and they're running everywhere. But so they're not an endangered species. They're just not that common in Maine. So they did this great big campaign, and they made them change a bunch of laws, and it got really crazy up there. Because I was planning on going to Maine right when all this was going on, and I was going to hang out with Jerry Bailey at his camp, and I was going to run coyote traps. Well, they passed that law, and it was a number 2 size trap, and I don't have that many size number 2 traps, so I wasn't going to spend, you know, gear up for just 1 2-week trip, a fun trip up there in Maine to go do it. So I've never really trapped in Maine, but it's I've got a lot of good friends in Maine, and I've been up there vacationing a couple times, and it's a great state, but it can lean a little too liberal sometimes. But what the Humane Society's doing to them now is it's called Mainers for Fair Bear Hunting. And for one, it's not Mainers that are trying to get this passed. It's outsiders. I was talking to Stephen Wilcox at the PTA convention, and he was saying they're trying to pass a law which would make this a lot harder for the Humane Society to do, which is you can't bring in people to go door to door and get these signatures to put stuff on referendums like they're doing. Because, you know, one really cool thing about Maine is they're very it's a unique state. Maine and Texas have a lot in common, and one of the things is they don't really trust outsiders. They'll be nice to you, and they'll, you know, they'll help you out and stuff like that. But, you know, up in Maine, if you're from away, you know, that could actually up there just be the next county over. And if you're from away, you know, you're looked on with a little bit of suspicion. What Humane Society did is they get a bunch of these college girls, and I'm sure they're in really tight shorts and flip-flops and, you know, red lipstick and big, you know, puppy dog eyes, and they're going around and they're talking to guys that would never talk to someone that's from away, and they're getting these signatures because they're winking and flirting and doing everything else. Well, they got enough signatures, and not only are they trying to stop trapping, they're trying to stop hunting them with dogs, which is a huge heritage in Maine. Huge heritage. And a lot of times, that's the most practical way to go about hunting Maine, bear anywhere, and especially in Maine, as thick as that is. Well, they're trying to stop the dog hunting over bait, and trapping, which means it'll just be spot and stalk, which is not very effective. And Maine has got a bear problem right now. And with dogs, and that's with dogs, with trapping, and with hunting over bait. And I've got an email from Steve, and I kind of want to go over what this is. They need your help. And now, to get a hold of Steve and donate some money, this is one of those things. We've got to make a stand somewhere. They're picking on Maine. The Humane Society and the tree huggers are. So this is one of those good places to make a stand because it's beatable. You know, I hope that I'm going to give some unadvertised advice when it comes to the thing in Maine. Back years ago when they were trying to stop the wolf hunting and everything in Alaska, they did not go into why bear wolf hunting was such a big deal. What they did is they played on the same aspect that I think can work in Maine. People from outside of Maine are trying to tell you what to do with your wildlife. They're from away. They're not local. They don't care about your wildlife. It's a money raising campaign. It's all it is. And if what Alaska did is all their whole ad campaign for the pro killing of wolves, because they needed moose and caribou and stuff like that for subsistence hunting and commercial hunting and sports hunting, they just brought that to the point that outsiders are trying to tell us what to do. And I think Maine, just because of the personality of the people from Maine, they may respond to that. They're, you know, it's a little advice. It didn't mean anything to anybody, and you're getting exactly what you paid for because it was free. But just something to think about. But Stephen Wilcox, his email is Birch Hill Camps. That's with an S. Birch Hill Camps at yahoo.com. Give him an email. See if there's something you can do about it. I would definitely look at donating some money. They really need it. I think this is beatable. And I'm going to read you a parts of an email that he sent me, that this was actually for their board where they're trying to stop this nonsense up there. It's a quick update. Mainers for fair bear hunting reserved $624,000 in television time last week. This covers a three-week campaign. No other campaign in Maine is reserved any time. There's no need to panic for us to think that we will not be able to buy time. To do this, we know the Humane Society at a minimum has dumped $250,000 into the coffers of Mainers for bear hunting. And that's at a minimum. And that's not counting any overhead staff or expenses. Their total contribution, which they've raised from soccer moms and other people that aren't from Maine, that don't know anything about bears, except they think they're cute on the Outdoor Channel, is about $1 million. And, you know, they can really bring the money. And, you know, advertising's a powerful, powerful thing. You know, they played their first car. They're doing all this type stuff. They're really going to push this, guys. And you know, even if you're not interested in maybe going to trap a bear, I mean, good grief, if we're trappers, I know I would like to trap a bear, you know, on purpose. So it would be one of those things I would really, really support. And now they're having the good guys up there in Maine are having a super banquet, and they've already sold $160,000 in sponsorships. It's about 50% sold out. It'll be about 1,000 people. It's on August 9th. And the money that this event will produce is essential for television advertising campaign. Because the thing about it, you know, we can get on Facebook and all our friends are trappers for the most part. So we can rant and rave and do all that, and we're just preaching to the choir. If you're going to fight people on a public platform, you've got to go public and get outside of the choir. And that's what they're asking your help to do. You know, you might be able to donate traps or guns or money, or I would just call Steve. What can I do to help? You know, it's one of those things. It's probably a very good thing to do. Now, here's what I find very interesting at the end of this email. This is from the Secretary of State of Maine. He releases the final question. This is the language that they're going to be using on the ballot. And I think it's very misleading, personally. And this is the question. Do you want to ban the use of bait, dogs or traps in bear hunting except to protect property, public safety, or for research? So basically what this is saying, and most people are going to read it because, you know, the only thing they're concerned about is what the, you know, what their kids are doing at soccer, what's on reality TV tonight, or what they've got to do to get ready for work the next day, and they're going to blow over this without thinking about it. Do you want to ban the use of bait, dogs, or traps? A lot of people, when they're going to think bait, I guarantee you they're going to think poison, which is totally false. What they're doing is not poison up there. Guys, people that don't know that, when they hear bait, they think about poison, but that's not it. The use of bait, when they're talking about, you have a bait station out in the woods, I've done it in Alaska, it's definitely not a guaranteed thing. But you put bait out in the woods and you keep checking, then you go sit in a tree stand and you wait for something to come in, kind of like deer hunting over a cornfield. Dogs, you know, they're picturing, I guarantee you, people that's never been around hounds have a vision of dogs just terrorizing an animal and doing everything like that, which is totally false. Or traps. Now see, that to me is being so dishonest in Maine. You do not use traps in Maine anymore. They're foot snares. There's no big jawed teeth traps. There's nothing coming out of the ground that's solid metal and you know, doing all that. It's a handcuff. That's all it is a cable handcuff. It holds it in place. It's not a trap. It's a foot snare. Now, that may seem like a technicality, but I don't think it is. Because when a soccer mom that's never been around traps and seen all the bogus advertising and stuff the Maine Society and PETA does already, they're going to picture what they've seen on Facebook or in some old country store somewhere where it's one of those old, you know, bear traps that are like 2.5 foot cross and they got great big razor sharp teeth on there. And no one wants a bear to be caught in that, trappers included. So you've got bait, dogs, or traps. Except for protection of property. Well, they're already getting the property destroyed now because there's too many bears. Public safety, so they're going to let the bear numbers go up and it's going to cause a public safety. Or for research. In other words, they're giving the state of Maine, the game wardens of Maine, an out to be able to still go and trap the bear. And they're saying for research. But that's not exactly the truth. It's going to take the sport of chasing the bear away from the sportsman and put it all in the hands of the state of Maine. And that's just wrong, because the hunters and everything like that, they're the reason that there is all the good habitat and all the good money that's spent on the license and everything like that that pays for the game wardens. They ought to be able to hunt the animals just as well as the game wardens do. That's my opinion anyway. But that is actually what the question is going to say. Do you want to ban the use of baits, dogs, or traps? So it's leading someone that doesn't know anything about it just to make a knee-jerk reaction and put down no. Unless we as trappers can get together and actually help them get some TV spots so people can get educated a little bit up there about what's going on. You know, if you're in Maine and you have information about what's going on or what PETA's doing or stuff like that, let me give you some advice. I want to give you guys in Maine a little bit of advice. The world we live in now is not the world we were 20 years ago. There are no more gatekeepers in this world. You can do whatever you want to do. You can reach as many people as you're creatively able to reach. Now, my question to you guys in Maine, I'm all for helping people send money and donate stuff up there so y'all can raise money. Have y'all done Facebook campaigns? And I'm talking serious. Where point by point, every single day, you're putting out new information that shows the lunacy of the Humane Society. Are you actually showing how they've been going to court because they're so dishonest and everything else? I've got stuff on my website. There's stuff all over the internet. It's been in public newspapers. You can Google it and get all the dirt you want on the Humane Society because it is a crappy for-profit for a few people organization. It is not for helping money. Are you making sure people in Maine know that? How many YouTube videos have you put out in Maine explaining what's going on in Maine and in the actual what is happening with that? Because with social media nowadays, if you put enough of that stuff online, it will get circulated. And people are not so isolated anymore when it comes to the computer. If outdoorsmen see what's going on now, and their friends see it on Facebook, and they see it on YouTube, they can share that, they can embed that, they can tell friends about it. And you know what that cost y'all up there, guys, in Maine? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I hope you're using social media in Maine, writing in the newspapers, doing everything you can that's not costing money, and trying to, and because y'all guys got to think about this like you're a guerrilla fighter. You do not have the money that the Humane Society gets because they're pulling money from well-meaning, ignorant people in California and Oregon and all across the country that's going to be fighting you. Well, you can affect people with a computer nowadays and get your message across without having to spend so much money. So I hope y'all are doing that, and I'm going to go to the next subject, but you know, if you can donate some money, guys, they really need your help up there, because I promise you, when Humane Society figures out the best way to just keep hammering on Maine, it's going to come to different states. And they're already building the platform now by saying that the coyotes in the east are some type of specialized, hybridized wood, wolf mixture, yada, yada, yada. And they're going to start doing exactly what they did in Maine, all up and down the east coast. So if you think it's just Maine and it's just bear, you're fooling yourself. I do want to talk about a sale that I'm running right now. I'm very excited about this DVD. I have not been excited about a product like I have been this in a long time, and I don't even sell the product. But I'm telling you, the portable pocket kicks butt in the field. It's easy, it's fast, it's quick, it's simple. It's one system. You can catch muskrats to coyotes with one system. You may not want to use a full-size coyote trap on a muskrat, but a number three Sleepy Long Creek with a big pan with the poundage turned down on the pan where it'll fire with a muskrat or a mink will catch them just as fine and do just as good of a job. So you can, with one system, catch a muskrat to a coyote. Bobcats, beaver, otter, everything, raccoons, mink, everything with this thing. For all last year, that's pretty much what I used, was a portable pocket. I learned a ton of lessons. And I'm starting to see people have seen this, and there's been some guys that are making portable pockets, and they have absolutely zero experience with them. It's obvious from their pictures that they've not used them when they post them on Facebook. They don't know some of the certain things with a portable pocket that you cannot change, or you're going to be in trouble. They're making knockoffs of something they don't understand. Now, Norm Blackwell's going to be making these things the way that I've used them, the way he's used them, the way Jeff Dunlap's used them, the way Randy Smith used them. We've had other guys use them. That is, after all of the learning curve and everything like that, if you get them from Norm, that's exactly what you're going to be needing. You might find them cheaper somewhere else because someone's going to make them cheap. But if that's what you're going to be using, I feel sorry for you when you go up there and your trap's gone. So sometimes spending a little bit of money on good equipment is not a bad deal. But this DVD I've got, it's 2 hours long. I'm showing how to catch. I spend most of the time on coyotes and cats. The coyote stuff can easily convert over to the fox. The cat stuff can easily be converted over to a gray fox. I show raccoon. I show beaver. That's the same as it is for otter. I show how simple it is to catch muskrat and mink all in one video, the whole gamut. And I'm very proud of the DVD. Just for this, what I'm so excited about this product more than anything, I think it's something. I mean, I hate to say that, you know, there's a silver bullet out there, but guys, this is about as close as I've ever seen. I mean, it's got beaver trapping to the point of almost dog proof trapping raccoon. It is that freaking easy. And all I want to do is get that information out there. So if you want to go out and you want to catch fur faster and quicker and easier, this is it. And I'm running a special on the DVD till August 1st on online sales only. It's not going to be on sale at the Nationals. It's online sale only. I'm selling it for $30. It's 2 hours. It's everything. A whole winter of my life is on that 2 hours of me learning how to use this product. For $30. Now the regular retail is going to be $39. So if you buy it before August 1st, or on August 1st, you'll save $9 on the DVD, and plus I'm going to pay for the shipping. And that's a good deal. It's a good video, and it's a super technique. Even if you don't go all the way to them, I promise you're going to be intrigued when you start doing them. Because one of the things about the portable pockets that I think guys need more than anything, one, I don't care how much it rains. I do not care how much it rains. I'm not going to have to be replacing lure, and my dirt holes aren't going to be getting washed out and all that stuff. The other main thing, when prices fluctuate the way they're going, and we've all seen the numbers in the field go up and down, if you set your coyote traps the way that I'm showing you and not the way that people on Facebook are showing it with no experience, a seasoned trapper can walk within a foot of your trap in your set and never know that you've got a pipe there. That alone is worth $39, because all it's got to do is save you a couple of traps and you've already made money. So this is something to think about. With the new DVD sale, $30, we're covering the shipping, so actually that's, you're getting it for about $27 up till August 1st. Now, I've got a buddy in Mississippi, his name's Chip. He's got a pretty neat machine down there, and he's coming out with expand the pan. They are big pans for traps. You've seen me using them for years. He's went a little bit step further. Instead of having to weld or rivet or bolt this thing on an original pan, you just take the pan off with a nut and bolt. His is already set up just to run the nut and bolt right back through there, and then you go trapping. So you don't have to weld, you don't have to rivet, you don't have to bolt, you don't have to go figure out what to buy. They're at a great price. He's making them on, I know, CDRs, the Bridger number 3s, TS85, Sleeper Creek 4s and 3s, all that type stuff. Now Jeb, which is a sponsor of Trapping Radio, is gonna be the point guy. Chip's not gonna be selling them directly. If you want these, talk to Jeb at Oki Cable and Trap Supply out in Oklahoma. He's going to be the guy. I'm not going to be selling them, but he's going to be the one that's going to be having those on the market, and I'm sure they'll be going to different distributors, like, you know, going through Jeb, but Jeb's the main guy. So I'd give Jeb a call. I don't know when he's going to be getting them in. I don't know the exact price of them. I know I've got a box over here that I've got them. I've been putting on my traps. I'm going to show some stuff on YouTube to show you how to do that. That's expand the pan. He's got a little logo with it that I think's kind of it kind of fits the big pan mentality. Go big or go home. Okay. Now, before we get into trapping TV, because it's not a full interview type thing, I want to have one technical thing on here in case you're following this and you're not following Trapping TV or whatever. I just had an email from a guy in South Carolina, and he was asking about if I've ever used a sliding system on coyotes. And he's using chain, I've used cable, and it's a really cool thing to play with, guys, if you've never done it. He's using it, I think he's running traps before work, so he's doing a lot of nighttime stuff or early morning stuff. So, you know, to him, you having a drag, even if the animal's only 20 foot away, he doesn't want to have to deal with that. I totally get it, no big deal. Using a saber tooth, I mean, most of the time they don't go anywhere, but mentally, guys have this problem with drag, so they find other things. So what he's using is a chain instead of a cable, just like you use on raccoon. And he's putting a stake at his set, and he's running that off with a chain, and it's got the chain lock on there. So when you catch the coyote, it takes the coyote away from your set and puts him over, you know, it can be 8 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet, whatever you want it to be. And just like in the drags, that does give you some huge advantages. One, you don't have a great big burn circle. And where the burn circle is going to be at, a lot of coyotes are going to circle anyway. And if you've got the new set there that caught the coyote originally, they're going to be right on top of that set because the burn circle is going to get their attention. So regardless if they're a circle shy coyote, they're still going to circle it. Even if they go into the circle, you're going to have what they're going to perceive as a unaffected trap set right there that they can play with. And I think that's pretty smart. And if you get a system down and you get all the kinks worked out of this thing, it is fairly quick. Now, him using chain is heavier. And the way that I used to do it, and I've got it in my high performance snaring too, I've even used it on snares. Now, the way I was using it, where I'm actually using a slide device for coyotes, not so much for the reasons he was using it, except it's got a lot of good advantages, because you don't have to set back in mud, your trap bed's there, you don't have to rebait and re-lure. I mean, all that stuff plays into account. No kidding about that. What I was using it for is if there was a trail that came out on a road and there was cover behind it, because a lot of places, that especially back when I was just trapping in Tennessee, they're on hunting leases. And even after the hunting lease is over with, guys will go up there and they run around and this, that, and the other. And there's something about a hunter seeing an animal in a trap, he just can't help shooting it or taking it or stealing a trap or whatever. But if the trail's coming out by the road and there's tracks on the road and on that trail and it's a really good location, I was using about 15 feet of 1/8 inch cable, and I would make my flat sets and stuff right on the corner where that little trail and the road met right there. And then I could catch the animal right in front of God and everybody. And then by using that cable, I could run it behind bush or I could run it into high grass. You know, it depends on what your location is. If there's a hump, I can run it behind the hump. If there's a great big log, I could angle it off behind the log. You got to get creative when you're doing this type of stuff. I don't know how far you can actually run this and for it to work, but I guess you could probably run it 100 feet if you wanted to. But the beauty of that was I could set where I needed to set, and it worked about 90% of the time. Every now and then you have a coyote that didn't quite understand how the system was supposed to work, and he'd screw things up. But you could catch him right where you wanted him, and you could run him off to where it's really hard to see. You know, and if you get a coyote in cover and a car comes by and doesn't screw with it, that coyote learns very quickly that maybe I need to sit still. Bobcats especially. You run a bobcat off 10 feet from the road into cover, and when you go check the sets, you better see if your trap's there or not, and not looking for the animal, because the cat will not move at all. Red fox, you know, a little more jumpy. Gray fox will just sit tight. And I think it's a cool idea. It's not something that I'll be honest with you that I would run, you know, 100% of. But when I was snaring a lot on the road, especially for cats and grays and coon, and there was a lot of places where the water would come up right up to the road and it would be open, you know, like where people would do their little fishing things and you know, they would wear the vegetation out. I could catch it on those trails right there, would be easier for me to check, but then I could run it into the brush and the animal would stay hidden. So, and I could catch multiple animals off of a trail and it wouldn't destroy my trail when I was snaring, which it's pretty cool. And I hadn't really ever thought about this, but when I was reading the email and replying back that it works good, you know, and how I used it and yada, 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 it made me wonder, when I get into the mafia set type thing, and guys that don't know what that is, Craig O'Gorman's got a book. It's called Hoofbeats of a Woofer. It's probably one of the best coyote books that has ever been written. He's not on the internet. You've got to call him up directly and get it. I don't know of anybody that sells that besides him. You might be able to find it on eBay or something like that, or Amazon. I don't know. But as used. But it's basically a two-trap with a drop-in, blind set in a trail. And that is, if there's animals going up down that trail, it's like, it's so good, something you can't refuse. That's why it's called the Mafia set. Now, the bad part about staking those is it tears the trail up. I'm almost thinking after reading that email, because this little light bulb went off in my head, I wonder if it would be worth playing around with this a little bit more, because I haven't done it in years, because I could use the Mafia set. As soon as they get caught, they're off my trail. They hadn't destroyed the trail, even if I'm not worried about people. And then I could just slide the traps back over, put them back in the trap beds, resift, and go on. Because the thing about the trapping, guys, always keep in mind, trapping is nothing but a set of problems. Your job is to find the solution. And if you find the solution, even though it may be some odds and end things every now and then, and everybody wants, one of the things I really love about the portable pocket, it's one system. You can do it when you're bone tired and brain dead and still catch fur. But there are times that maybe it's not going to be the best thing. But even with the portable pockets, you could still hook up a chain and catch a coyote on the side of the road, especially if you get the video and see how I'm hiding this thing from people and animals as far as visually goes. You could catch it right, I'm talking right in, on the road. I don't care if it's on the side of the interstate. And you could, because you're running that stake down through there, you already got a stake there for your slide chain or slide cable. You can run him off and just go dispatch him and move your trap back up in front of the portable pocket and go again. Everything's got its place in trapping. The thing is, the trapper's got to be intelligent enough and observant enough to always look at what's going on around him, and you got to be smarter than the situation, which means you've got to be creative and have critical thinking. And this is definitely sliding coyotes and cats and fox and everything else on dry land where the water is not an issue. Sometimes that's a pretty slick deal. Let's go ahead and get to a round table about talking about trapping TV. Now next week I'm going to be at the Nationals. I'll be doing a lot of interviews up there, and in 2 weeks we'll have another episode, and we'll be running for a while after that. I don't see any, it gets kind of sporadic when I'm doing the convention season, but I'm not sure who I'm going to get to interview, but I've got some ideas, and I think they're going to be pretty good. So next week, you can always go back in the archives and listen to some of the ones you haven't listened here on Trapping Radio. And the week after that, we'll be talking trapping. Okay, we're at the Pennsylvania show. We've got two episodes left. Well, by the time you hear this, it'll be over with. So,
season one will be over.
Yeah, it's at Saturday night after the show. I'm kind of tired. You seem to be burning energy, Scott. So you're now the new host of Trapping Across America. Knock yourself out.
Well, welcome, folks. This is Trapping TV Cast. Our season just finished up with 13 episodes. We had a lot of fun. We traveled a lot of different states this year. The whole cast is here, Norm, Clint, Mike, and Brandon. Boy, a lot of critters ended up free trips to Canada with this season. Coyotes, beaver, otter, fox, coons, you name it. We really slayed it all trying to get extra footage. We probably had 2 seasons worth of footage accumulated with everybody filming. But we had a great year and a lot of fun doing it, I assume, looking at everybody around the table as we do this.
You're a coward.
Why am I a coward?
You just said you were going to holler that this is where men can be men and talk bad about women.
Well, yeah, I said this is a show we can be men as long as women aren't listening to be mad at us. We can go pee in a corner and spit on the floor and act like a normal trapper. Dirt under our fingernails and all that good stuff. You're right, coward. But my thought was there to do it. If you can't have fun doing this, you might as well stay home. You got to do what you enjoy. Life's short. But I think, this next season, everybody's here. We probably have a lot of great ideas and plans if they all come together. We should be able to bring a whole nother wonderful season. to your viewing pleasures. And, you know, here's Mike. He can tell you more. He's our chief editor, videographer, editor. He can give some more input on it. Here's Mike Kimball.
I think he was vapor locking there at the end.
Yeah.
That's what
to say. Well, I guess...
That's what I threw it to Mike.
I guess our quality, I think, is getting to where we need it, but we're going to keep up in the bar. We're going to buy new equipment, more with stabilizers I'm going to start investing in. Just keep up in the bar there. I think people like that.
What kind of cameras are you using?
Pretty much all of us have a DSLR now, which is probably a quarter of the footage.
I will have one by next year.
Yeah, we've all been upgrading here and there. And I have one little bit nicer camera, a Sony AX2000, which does the meat of everything. Just easier to run, easy to use, and the footage is excellent. That will keep. I'm not upgrading that one. It costs too much money. But we'll see. We're going to get into some new, different things people don't get to see this year, hopefully. States that people don't get to see a whole lot of.
Okay, you're vapor locking. Back to the host. Go ahead.
Well, hey, you know, a lot of people have been talking at the show. We're at the Pennsylvania National or Pennsylvania State Trappers Show doing this show. A lot of the talk around here has been low fur prices, but I wouldn't get down. We had coyotes sell for $70. Guys from Iowa were talking still the $25 average. I don't know why some of the talks has everybody down. It's still good money for fur. I know we're going to chase it hard. A lot to do with the filming and bringing trapping TV to y'all, but those are still good prices to make a little extra money. A week deer hunting out of state don't nearly bring me the money. You know, $15 muskrats add up. Even $30 coyotes add up.
$5 muskrats add
$10.
Up. $10. You don't have to get that crazy.
Can you believe that much money in muskrats?
Yeah.
Hopefully they stay like that.
Yeah, they'll be extinct. They'll be the new mink. You'll be happy to catch one a week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing muskrat demos. A big pan number one long spring with predator control group glow-in-the-dark carrot formula in the back of a pocket. It'll be coming to stores near you soon, and it'll help you produce extra 4 muskrats a year. Now, I know Norm feels bad. I don't know if they have muskrats in Georgia, but I'm sure he'll be bringing some good footage down there in the southern alligator swamps. Any comment on that, Norm?
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Fun.
I'm enjoying
this. I appreciate
that. Your turn to be host. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't have that many muskrats at all down there, unfortunately. We got all the good swamps and everything. They should be there. Maybe we can get some out of Ohio. You guys can...
Well, we can't talk about that on air. Anytime you move an animal alive across state, they get mad about that.
That was just theoretical and hypothetical.
Yeah. First, Ohio would have to have an abundance population to even consider an exchange.
We don't really need to lose any of our breeding
stuff. But then our president's been talking about one person for 5, so, you know, we could get 5 alligators for 1 muskrat.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe the two states can work something out. Swap some fur for some skin.
Keep going. I'm enjoying this, Norm. You're the host.
Well, wonderful.
You're next, Brandon.
Okay.
You guys get me sidetracked so bad. Okay, so anyway, we don't
so
have
easy.
The muskrats. It is. You know, we're going to be back at it again. You know, we've got a lot of ADC work coming up. We're going to do some filming of some goose control. We're going to do some pigeon control this year. We got, along with our normal beaver and, you know, coyotes and things like that.
You're going to be showing us your new BB gun?
You're going to see my new BB gun. And it is phenomenal. I just absolutely love it.
Just don't shoot your eye out.
Yeah, don't be jealous. You know you want one.
I'll end up getting one. Mine'll be a pellet gun. Yours still be a BB gun.
We're talking about a 25 caliber Air Force air rifle that puts out about 1,300 feet per second, and it's a suppressed barrel, so it's extremely quiet, and it's just the all-around best ADC tool that you can use.
Sounds like a good cat tool.
Absolutely, you know, and it's good on the trap line.
Bobcat, right?
Yeah.
House cats, Scott.
Yeah. You know, they pay better.
Yeah, a pack of 500 cats. Pellets, you know, I mean, only going to cost you like $12, so.
Is Lowe's going to let you film any of that?
I don't believe there would be an issue if I wanted to do a little bit, but I won't be able to use that gun because it's too powerful. I have a lesser gun in there taking care of that bird control, but the plants that we're doing in Chattanooga, that won't be a problem.
Okay. Your turn, Brandon. You're the host.
Okay. Well, we had a great season this year, and I'm ready for next season to start already. I got a bunch of my traps ready. I'm thinking about maybe going out west, chasing some rats since they're still worth a good dollar.
Where are you thinking about going?
Maybe North Dakota. I know some guys that duck hunt out there, and they said they see a bunch of them swimming around. I don't know how much of the bunch is, but gotta go try it to find out.
That's a scary number. Yeah, when you go out of state.
And I'll probably still trap some coon in PA since their season starts before ours. So something.
You plan on going back to North Carolina?
Yeah, I'm gonna go there. I don't know if I'm gonna go as long. We'll see what the prices are and stuff, but I'm gonna for sure go to at least keep my ground.
I guess I'll play host again. What?
Back on duty.
Back on duty. Okay.
You're better host than me.
Why don't you tell us about your North Carolina trip? What was that like this year?
Oh, it was wild. It was a lot of work. I was running hard the whole time.
How long were you down there?
2 months. We were there for 2 months. We left right after New Year's and stayed till season ended. End of February, got back. We had a big storm. Didn't get back till a couple days into March.
How did the weather affect you out there?
Oh, we had some days we couldn't really even leave the driveway because there was trees down and 3 inches of ice on the freeway, and we didn't see a car all day. The Weather Channel said for everyone to stay inside, but we still
nothing
got out.
Northern boys can't handle.
But it still got bad. We had a lot of trails that went through the woods that they won't be clear for years or ever because some people don't go even back there, and there's trees down on them now, you know.
Mm.
Some of the stuff, no one's ever went back there. You just look, and it's nonstop trees.
Well, how many otter did you catch?
168.
So I tried to give you your steak dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And then it was Scott's turn to pay.
So I just paid for it all.
So he paid for it. So somehow you're getting 2 steak dinners out of this.
It's a good deal. It's a lot of work. It's work too.
How many beaver you get?
400.
Yeah. Ringtails?
Just over 800, like 820.
And rats?
160 something. I didn't really do too good on
the rats.
What'd
you do after Tuesday, dude?
I don't know. Went to bed.
Dulled a knife.
Yeah. It was a long season, but it was fun. I'd do it again. At least you gotta love it if you're gonna do it.
What would you tell someone that wanted to be away from reality for 2 months? I mean, what would they need to be thinking about to pull that off?
Just got to have a hardcore attitude and just keep thinking. You got to keep your mind in the game and keep going. Can't stop. Can't give up. Even if you got a bad day, just got to keep trying. If you slow down, you're not going to make it.
Y'all two went down to Alabama again.
Yeah. Hired by a lot of the deer clubs down there. So fur value wasn't an issue. We got a good pay set up down there, just doing predator work like predator control group, and the fur added to be a very good bonus.
Now, when we were all down there, we stayed in a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm understanding y'all might have had some health issues out at the second place.
Yeah, and trapping TV, like where I fell in, you hear my voice is awfully hoarse and congested. We had like black mold in the cabin. And we had no heat. We had to drive how far for kerosene?
You're still complaining?
That's what I heard. Every time I called, they couldn't find kerosene.
Will was the one trying to do the fire. I never would have lit the fire in green wood.
Even in Alabama, it got chilly some nights.
Yeah, it got cold.
Yeah, it got cold.
Don't think if you're going to go to the south, you're going to be free of the cold. We got miserable.
And they weren't
a few
prepared.
Nights.
We had to hunt for K1 kerosene just to heat that little. It was a step above a slave quarters.
It wasn't all that bad.
I mean, there was only 4 snakeskins in the bathroom.
It's not many.
No,
it's your bathroom. I mean, the first time we went to Texas, we had to trap all the rats out of the kitchen.
How many black widows you find?
Didn't look for them.
No.
So what was different on your trip the second time than the first time?
Did a lot more. Covered a lot more area. Had a lot more traps out. Caught a lot of fur. But
coyotes were starting to rub, so the fur value on them wasn't there. There was more water trapping involved on a couple of the properties. They had beaver problems. But that's just going through a typical southern swamp to get the job done.
It was more fun. Swimming.
More swimming.
Well, swimming, you know. You got to bathe swimming when there's no shower. Yeah. Be in a beaver pond or in a bathtub that nobody will let you use. So you take the pond every chance you get. Kind of wash your clothes and body all in the one Santa flush.
For some reason, everybody else thought that was funny but you.
Well, it was. It was well-deserved. Mike was good. I liked my nylon chaps and all that wick wear. They're beautiful. They really hold water in and out.
You guys have no idea. He just goes on and on about his hip waders and his coat nonstop.
Those things are nice.
If I'm sitting over there shivering, he's like, oh, look at my coat.
Keeps
so
water
it kind of it just felt
in.
Good when he fell in the water with that coat on.
He dried quicker.
Are you saying he's got like a nylon fetish or something?
I wouldn't say a fetish. I enjoyed the new clothes. Briar proof.
And what did you do, Norm?
Well, we went to Louisiana for a while, trapped down there, and then from there we went on to Texas. Me and you knocked out the school, and then you went had other things to do, and I went on and took care of a couple more ranches.
I had to watch my reality TV. I couldn't get it down there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you didn't even find Brandon a mail order bride coming across the border.
We could have. We found a lot of garments.
Backpacks and garments. I've seen that in the past.
Yeah.
School backpacks, 2-for-1 sale. Man could make a living off all the backpacks.
I wish I knew what company I could put stock in for those backpacks.
And the tuna fish. I mean, last time I was there, it was 15, 18. You didn't need bait. You just went for a kick and make sure there was no scorpions or rattlesnakes in them and get the goodies out.
You're making your own fish oil down there.
Well, mackerel works better than tuna.
So after you left me, Norm, what was it? What went on down in Freer?
We got set up down there, and we started doing the normal thing. We got the fences set up, set in footholds. We were there for 3 weeks. We caught 76 cats up there, and we caught 52 coyotes, I believe. And a bunch of coon, of course, off them high-protein feeders. And then I went from there. By that point, I can't even tell you the name of the town, but it was about an hour and a half.
Cthulhu.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yes, it was, too. Yes.
Two grocery stores and one hardware.
And an hour away. So
I don't think we can talk about the rest of that on the radio.
So that was a... Scott was there before me for a few years, and this year he couldn't make it, so I went out there, and there wasn't a lot of game left. They're running that ground fence now.
What are you trying to say? Scott did a good job.
He was tough trapping.
When I found out that you were going to where he was at with the rules that they had, I thought that was hilarious.
I know you did.
And I felt relieved that I didn't get to go and have fun there.
I heard back from comments that you thought that was just wonderful. That's wonderful. That would be a good, easy way of putting it. It was tough. I've never dealt with ranch people quite like that. And we survived it. We've been invited back. I told them we'd get back with them on that.
Liar.
we'll go from there. So after that, we got home. And it was
April. Explain the concentration camp you're in.
I'm trying to be tactful, because they may hear this.
Scott didn't
want to
make it sound
anyone.
That bad.
Well, then maybe they should rethink just a little bit.
Well, okay.
They're very thorough there.
They're very thorough. There's not a stone out of place. If you leave that ranch, you have to call and ask permission to leave. When you get back, you have to tell them you are back on the property. When you go from one side of the property, they want to know where you're at. And if you cross over through that fence into the new prep pasture they have, you have to call them and tell them you're there. And, we want you to eliminate all the coyotes and cats on this 5,000 acres. But you can't go into 3,000 acres of it because it's our preserve for our deer. Now, where do you think the cats and the predators are going to be? Where they're feeding all the deer and the deer are hanging out, but I'm not allowed to go in there to trap anything.
No. Control trapping is always so easy.
Yeah, you know.
It
was a nightmare. I was on the phone the second or third day with Scott going, Scott, what in the world is going on here? And he was doing his best not to laugh. I could tell, you know. And
welcome to hell.
Well, when you called me, it wasn't what's going on here. We can't say what you were saying on the phone with me.
We can't. No, it wouldn't be tactful.
Remember the first time I stopped in Dunlap to pick up snare supports, and I put them in food bags. Remember how nice and organized they were? That's how much free time I had killing it down there, because they left and went home at that place and left a satellite phone with GPS coordinates for me.
Did you have to do it on GPS?
No, I got lucky with that. Scott gave me some pointers ahead of time to kind of look out for. Like, one of the managers will actually go around and find your sets and then set them off to see if you bedded the trap properly.
You're kidding me.
No. And I would have just lost my mind if I found that he was going around setting off my traps. So we had a serious heart-to-heart right from the beginning of that. And that,
see, I believe I just
happened.
Had to went around and set off all my traps, since he's paying you by the week anyway, and telling him he can go look at them, and when he finds them all, let him know how many he found, then you'll go back and reset them so you don't have to do it again.
Yeah, so little things like that, you know. They didn't put a minimum of how many traps I had to put out.
They did with you.
They looked in the back of my truck, said, you still have traps, you better get them in the ground, like playing more bingo cards. I'd say, yes, sir. Check the same four empty traps for 3 weeks on an intersection that had no scat, no sign, no nothing, thinking one or two would have covered it.
In 3 weeks, how many coyotes did you catch out there?
I don't think I ever caught over 10. The second year when I was instructed at the trapping school in Lambandera was the best I ever did there in February. They must have two litters of coyotes in there because I skinned them. That's when Kohler, we skinned all those $3 coyotes and had fleas and ticks all over us all night. It was well worth the $3 hide.
Split three ways.
Yes, a dollar a piece after
tumbling fee.
You could have caught possums and done better.
They didn't have them or we would have done it. We were hide whores back then. We wanted to sell everything.
I hear you.
But we ended up just staying a couple weeks. And
lodge,
you know,
is nice, though.
The lodge is, yeah. Don't dare touch nothing in it, but it's very nice. You know, we ended up with like 9 coyotes and I think 6 cats.
That's about par what I think I've done. I mean, it's,
yeah,
they run their fence with predator wire and they had conibears on it year round. You can put a void in an area after that. I mean, that's the hard thing on control trapping. One is too many because they feel their deer are worth everything, and that's why they pay on their defense. But it is still, some landowners or managers are hard to please.
Yeah.
They expect a lot. They expect miracles from even a professional trapper that...
It's not realistic.
Exactly. You couldn't make a check fur trapping in that part of the world because everybody's hard on them right in there.
Yeah, well, I remember the first job I ever did in Texas, the guy almost kicked me off by noon the next day because I only had 14 coyotes in less than 24 hours of being on his property.
And thought you were doing horrible.
Thought it was just a terrible catch. So, I mean,
That's pretty good, it sounds.
That was my first experience with everybody in Texas thinks they got 600,000 coyotes per square mile.
Yeah. What got me really scared on that property is when they come to me and said, we would like for you to stay for 6 months and make sure you can eradicate everything on the property.
I'm glad they never offered that to
me. You wouldn't have a little bit of hair left. You'd have left.
No. I politely said, no, thank you. No way.
No. You need that job, Brandon.
I
need to
know.
Send you somewhere for 6 months where there's like 3 animals.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, every bug known to man.
There won't be birds left or bugs or snakes or...
That
might even kill the trees.
We were at Lambandera when it was untouched. You know, 12, 14 coyotes a day, 6, 7 cats a day. That, just looking back at that, that's something I only could wish to experience in my lifetime again.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I don't know.
It's going to be hard to replicate.
Yeah, I don't think we lived something there that very few will ever get to witness or experience. That was phenomenal for those few weeks, what we did and seen down there.
So what do you think we're going to, since you're the head honcho and the producer of this thing.
Yeah.
So what's our plan? What are we planning on doing next
season? for one, scheduling is going to be a little sooner. We're going to try to start throwing episodes out by December, so everybody's trapping, coming in, watching episodes, rather than it being hot in the summertime. I think it'd be a little more time fitting. Try to get some new places in next year. Just, I want to always be a little bit different. I don't want to do, I'm not going to say we're not going to do something we did this year, next year, but we're always going to try to make it different. Because anybody can go back down to our YouTube series in the past and check them out. Mm-hmm. So I always want to keep trying to move forward and keep things different, different states. There's just so many little things that we could change on how to do a dirt hole that's always going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure we don't duplicate what we've already done, which I think trapping, that's going to be simple. There's so many different ways to do any given thing. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
So when are y'all getting the GoPro drones?
We got to start making some money first.
The guy that does my decals bought one.
Yeah.
And it's like $125 an hour. He'll come out and shoot for, I think, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And he's made that offer to us that we want, got someplace close by that we want him Texas? To come over and do it. Close to Dalton.
Okay.
But I've seen his footage that he has. It's phenomenal.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I got a web page that I can hook you up with. You need to see it. I thought of you instantly. You know, just because we can be down in the creeks, like where we were trapping around your place, mm-hmm. and that drone's out in front of you and all up into the trees and just getting the aerial shots.
Why get out of the truck to check a trap? Send the drone.
Send the drone to do it. But
I like that idea.
Yeah,
that sounds like keeping up with a truck going down the road.
It flies a long way, and if it loses, as long as it gets a GPS signal when it takes off, if you lose it, it'll go right back to that spot. But if you lose it, you can just go back wherever you started from and pick it up.
So I could check all my traps from the house.
Well, yeah, you could. You fly it looking at your cell phone and looking out the camera of the thing. It sets right on the control, so you're looking at your phone, and that's the camera view of what you're looking at.
Wow, some of these young kids could long line with a drone.
Absolutely.
We should just hire, we'll set the traps, and they can get a drone to check their traps and get a picture.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm going to block 3 to shoot a coyote. Okay, Johnny, have fun. Don't text and drive. I thought you have 100 traps. Yeah, but I only caught one animal today.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. I don't know what the range is on them. You know, he was
or at
really
least
excited.
Like this. Pull up on the side of the road if you got a swamp checked.
Absolutely.
And just buzz around, check them.
How much time would it save you?
No waiters.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That would save a lot of labor.
What's one of those costs?
I don't even know.
He's
it's
got
it's
two
big
grand
money.
In his.
Yeah,
how much?
Nine,
two
ten.
Grand.
Oh,
two grand.
$2,000.
Someone was saying
it's got
about
like
nine,
the latest and greatest HD DSL type
$24
camera.
$24 an hour.
I'm surprised it's that cheap.
Yeah.
It's
got, actually. What do they call that, Mikey? When they, you know, if the plane does this, the camera stays still. Gyro something.
One of the stabilizers.
They had one at the one Bofus in tournament. We're at there following the boats.
Absolutely. Yeah, we flew it out about 300 yards and turned it around and pointed it back at us in the parking lot, and it was like we were 20 feet from it. It can zoom in that much.
Mr. Producer.
Just think all the footage at the beach we could do.
Yeah. That would be, that's a thought. We'll look into it.
Where's invasion of privacy come in with such a device?
Yeah, there is probably some issues in looking in windows. So, Scott.
I was just thinking
Scott's
the beach
thinking
or private swimming pools.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think even things like that will eventually be able to, I think we'll be able to start pulling a sponsorship here and there.
Well, good grief. And we showed up here and we heard four people are talking to us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think things like that will be a problem as we keep progressing.
I think they'll be the lucky the first few people.
What's that?
You couldn't use that in the South. You start flying a drone around Clint's house.
From the
one of them. You'd have to tell me it was yours. I'm going to shoot it down.
Yeah.
One of them rednecks is going to take it out.
It's going to have some BBs.
$4 and watch it fold like a goose.
It's got four propellers on this thing.
I bet one pellet of $4 takes it out.
Yeah. You need to check it out. I mean, it's really cool.
It'd be like shooting an endangered bird, $2,000, almost like a fine.
And then, you know, at the end of the table here, being quiet, not saying a word, we got Clint's new helper, and he's done a great job this weekend. It's his first convention.
I'm happy to see his fingers are clean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a good kid. Really good kid. I didn't think there was too many left. You did really good. And we gave you absolute Oh, gosh. Yeah, we rode you like a borrowed mule all weekend. Yeah. And you took it with a smile and stuff. You found a good helper.
But you know what's funny is me and Jeff or who's ever or Michael, we'd get on to you, and then you'd get frustrated. You'd try and get on to Travis.
He was there. I'm trying to give the boy a compliment. Get off my back. So, but yeah, good kid. Anyway, you found a good helper. Okay, so Lord Locklear Jr.
I only call him General.
Albert calling me Big Boy.
Yeah.
And what's Kohler call you Captain?
Yeah.
I'm on the phone. You talked to Captain lately.
Now, what's going on with this new video stuff I heard that you were asked to shoot?
Video.
Yeah.
Girls Gone Wild?
What are you talking about?
Well, there were two things I heard that you were starting to be working on. One was a fitness tape for F&T for trapping.
I'm in a yellow tutu, and they want me to show you how you stretch before you go beaver trapping. We've already done that.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, I'm really curious where you stand on that.
We got to, instead of us charging, I think we're going to have to pay people about $2 to watch it.
You know, I heard about it, and I thought, wow, what a spokesman for fitness.
Okay, since you've thought about, what's the second video?
Okay, the second
now
one.
Remember, if you start going down this road.
It's okay. You know, there's so many of these find your love sites, and you know, we all thought that you would be the guy, you know, for the trappers to set up the, you know, come find a mate, trapping.
Trapper dating.
Kind of like farm.com.
Kind of like the farm.com, but you could set something up through the internet for, you know, the trappers to find their true love.
All I need, Scott. That's all the customer I need.
I'll try to date them all. If they can outset more traps than Dave, they might be a keeper. Brandon might even help too.
I don't know. I seen some things on Facebook. Is there a lady in your life now?
No, I'm good.
You're good.
The people we meet is awesome out of this deal. Mm. I've met more people than I could imagine in the last year. I didn't meet Al until this weekend. But watching watching the video of him the last few weeks making
we were pretty rough on poor Albert. Is that coming out this week?
They're coming out. They'll be, I don't know when this is going to come out, but they're in the process right now. By the time you air this, they'll already be done. But yeah, but it's the next Saturday.
Hey, you are not nice to Albert.
I love Albert.
I know you do.
He just takes it like a champ, though.
Yeah, I seen that footage on what you did in Texas. I'm not going to spoil it. Got to watch into trapping TV on YouTube. But Albert and Clint had a real great thing.
Oh,
I'm surprised the trap was heavy enough to hold such a beast.
He's a character, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew, got a bunch of footage of him. He's a character also. I mean, I didn't even met these people in person. I feel like I met them through the camera.
Yeah, Matthew's from Australia. He's a professional dingo trapper. He came back to Texas this year.
Yeah.
And did you get hog footage and everything?
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of good stuff.
Be nice to get Australian trap for dingoes with that hooked up.
Yeah, there you go.
Red Fox.
He just posted a picture on Facebook on his thing. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
He's standing next to he's kneeling down. He's got his hand next to a dog print, almost the size of his hand. I said, that's a big dog.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was impressive. Which, I mean, he's not a 400-pound man, you know, but he's got a regular size hand, and this print is almost the same size.
Wow.
It's Tom Parr. We seen a dingo hide when we were down there filming at the Trap Museum, and it looked like a coyote hide, really, for size, wouldn't you thought?
You know, poor thing about Matthew, last 2 years in a row, I'm starting to think like we need to start sending food to Australia because he's such a skinny kid.
No kidding.
And we thought we'd fatten him up, but it didn't work.
No, and he ate.
Mm-hmm.
He ate good.
All that good, authentic, fine Mexican cuisine that nobody in the North has. I keep hoping to get a handmade tortilla with raspberry jam again.
What would you have changed on Trapping TV from beginning to towards the end? Because it's obvious it got a lot more polished.
Yeah, that's just us kind of learning. I mean, we started with no education at all with the camera and editing equipment. Will and I just playing around on the computer every few nights. Just the way, which you'll see next year, just the way we film, people don't just want to see somebody standing in front of a camera for 9 minutes straight just talking about something, getting different angles of that clip, why that person's explaining it. It just keeps people interested. And that's kind of what the last, you could see from the beginning to the end of this year, that we started getting shorter clips, why the audio's still there. You're explaining what you're doing, but we're not just looking at whoever may be explaining the set or whatever they're doing. Just little things like that keep people interested.
Now, one of the things I think we should really capitalize on is more of the GoPro footage.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Especially
need to do
some
that.
Of the underwater stuff.
Yes, for sure. GoPro's footage is insane. Something we will definitely have to work on this year, because those give Will and I a lot to edit with for the B-roll. When you're talking, just throwing it in there, clip 4 or 5 seconds here and there. Just neat.
That water in Tennessee was so clear in that last episode with the beaver. You can't see that in every part of the country. Like, I know near the Delta, that water's so brown and black.
Yeah, but us, it's pretty, in North Carolina,
and
dark.
Even in Northeast Ohio, you might get it if you have a pole. But as soon as you step in, you're going to cloud it up.
We're just going to give you the helmet. You're going to have to carry the GoPro around. That's what we're going to do most of the year next year.
You know, I'll take my turn.
That would be scary.
Well,
that would be
microphone.
An episode, The Day in the Life of Scott.
Depends what state we're in. Wow. We should have filmed some of those days in Alabama when the black mold shack.
Some other things we'll change a little bit next year. We didn't do hardly any snaring this year, which mm-hmm. that's a huge, huge market. We're going to show. I have a few episodes kind of just geared for snaring. Everybody has questions about it. Realistically, it's probably what more people ask me about than anything out there. So the snaring, mink, we didn't get to get into that. Yeah. But really, none of us got into mink this year, so we really didn't have much to work with. But we'll try to focus on filler episodes of stuff that we normally don't do.
True, did you get to see the last episode?
No, not yet. I haven't.
So you hadn't seen the big colony trap in action yet?
No. No. When I get home, I do plan on watching.
That come out pretty cool.
Did
I was happy about that.
Because I was as surprised as everybody watching.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, Clint gave you $20. Hope you didn't spend it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the neat thing about this, too. I can go back to the first episode that I even edited, and it's just like watching it for the first time again. I'm just as into it as, I mean, right after I did it, obviously I'm not, but I can watch them all again now, and they're still interesting to me, and we did them all.
Well, I mean, a lot of the fun stuff I think is important when you're doing what we're doing. Like when I had to give Norm $20, the whole story of that was... We went up to the set, and he sets the portable pockets way different than I set the portable pockets. My little logical brain's bouncing all over four corners of my head, and I'm like going, no, that's not going to work. And he's going, yeah, that's going to work. It's what I've been doing. And I'm like going, no, that's not going to work. So I'm like, I'll bet you $20 mine down the air catch before this will. And then, you know, you were a little hesitant, but you took the bet.
Yeah, I did.
And then I lost the bet.
Yep.
But the fun part about when you trap with good friends and people that don't get their feelings hurt, it becomes a game of wits. So I gave him $20, and then we made him pay $35 for lunch.
Yeah.
So
what a bet.
Yeah. But I was the winner.
That's all that matters. The guy told me about a lawsuit. It's cost him $20,000 to prove that over $5,000 problem, but he won for $20,000 with legal fees.
That's kind of what Norm did.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one thing, too. Hopefully we can run the camera more, because we all do get along, have a good time, and that's hard to portray because you're editing and all that. But really, when we're all together, we do have a great time and have a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
You betcha. Too bad the cameraman didn't capture every good moment. People would still be laughing.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing he doesn't.
Well, I don't know when YouTube starts to edit, but we could have probably showed most of it.
Now, I haven't asked you this. You have an email, right?
Yes.
Would you care if people emailed you?
Oh, yeah, anybody could email me.
Okay, give that, because I'm getting ready to do something.
Okay, it's Kemble, my last name, Kemble, construction. It's my work one, but I use it for everything. KembleConstruction@yahoo.com.
Okay. If you're watching Trapping TV and you're curious about something, or you have questions about something, or you want to see something, if they emailed you, that way you could go, okay, Norm's doing this down here that's probably going to be, and he can call you and go, could you cover that while you're out this week and shoot the footage?
Absolutely.
Or the same thing like that, or if it's something more technical or whatever.
Yeah,
if we
great.
Know what they won't watch, we can put it on there.
It helps, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We can't promise everything, but we can do as much as we can, yeah.
Yeah.
And one step more than that, I just want more feedback from people. Just email me and say hi, how you like the show.
But just
any little thing that you could, any feedback, it all helps.
Out of curiosity, you know, is there any way of checking our numbers at this point to give a general idea of how many viewers we have?
Yeah, our number counter. He counts them every day.
yeah, we're getting anywhere in 2 weeks, close to 3,000 views to 4,000 is up to. Every episode within 2 weeks is hitting near 3,000 to 4,000.
Per episode.
Yeah. For trapping, that's like
that is phenomenal.
And some, like our number one issue is
15,
up to
15,000 something.
So he's counting right now.
Every week. He does it weekly. He's got a chart at his house that he writes down per week.
You got to have something to look forward to in life.
We're definitely getting a good following, though.
Great.
And it's the off season. Wait till.
Yeah.
Wait till we get a little closer to season.
Absolutely. That's exciting all on its own because we all just sat around and talked about it. We didn't know where it was going.
Yeah. Walking around, it feels good. People stop you and say, man, that's a great job you guys are doing.
Yeah. First show of the year here.
Yeah,
and
great
feedback.
And
we got people walking up to the booth going, man, that is so nice. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
And they're
cool.
Not picking out any particular thing because they're watching all of them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, man,
of the five of us, I don't think there's a species of fur bear that we can't do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
From all our different backgrounds, parts of the world we've been and seen.
You saying we know what we're doing, some of us?
I would think. I mean, I'd, you know, throw the species at us. If it's legal, we'll give it a try.
Because, you know, I can tell, even if I'm busy and I don't know that the episode comes out like this Saturday, I know Saturday evening that the episode came out because there's like 65 new subscribers.
Yeah, you can tell every time.
And that's, I've never subscribed to anybody on YouTube. I really don't know how you do this. Mm-hmm. I finally asked somebody, why do you subscribe? And apparently you can click a thing. So it sends you an email.
When this comes up, it sends it right to them, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll always know. So if you want to know when they're out, if you subscribe to the channel, it'll click you an email so you know when it's up.
Yeah.
And you're over.
Can click a thing.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
5,000.
I can't even figure out how to answer the comments on my own YouTube channel.
Are we going to get you up into the new 20th century of things?
I can't read that, man.
A couple of times you've commented.
I've commented from your thing. Well, you need to show me how to do it.
Yeah, I will.
A lot of good.
It's not that I don't want to. Yeah. I can type it in, but it never goes anywhere.
I used to get a different count on my phone, but it like kicked me off. But episode one right now is at 14,502 views.
Wow.
Oh, they're jumping. We've got a few over 10,000.
Really?
And that's with you doing your world phenomenal flat set.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That caught coyote after coyote.
One of them trips.
All I care out of that whole trip is that, you know, we all had a great time. It was, our first real get together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything just kind of really fell together really well.
It did. I had a blast that trip.
You know? And me and Clint got shorted on that trip. You know, we pulled the short straw, and it happens to everybody.
The first farm we went to, we thought we had the cat's meow, and it produced a whole three animals.
Yeah.
It's pretty much right across the road where we were.
Yeah, exactly.
We caught them before you. They were lonely.
But, you know, and that's reality, though. I mean, I don't care how good you are. You have bad times.
Sort of like the trapping job in Texas we talked about.
Exactly.
They think they're plagued, and there's maybe 8 animals in the 6,000-acre pen.
Yeah. Well, they've raised it now to 10,000, so they may have 4.
Yeah.
You know.
And hopefully they had pups.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rabbits there and rattlesnakes, though.
Yeah.
They can keep you busy.
Well, how do you keep your camera dry since you're in the water? Like, I think you sleep in waders and in a swamp somewhere.
Yeah, sometimes I do sleep in them, but I'd usually just have it in a case and then.
That's a visual I wish you wouldn't have said. I can't get that out of my mind.
Plastic bag.
Neoprene.
Plastic bag and just stick it down in my waders. The case, plastic bag on
like
the camera.
Like a Ziploc?
Yeah, around the camera and then that in the case, zip it up and shove it
Otter
down
box
your waders
type thing?
No, just a
Ziploc like bag.
Well, that, okay. That, and then just a, like a nylon or whatever, just normal camera case. So if it, you fall
so
in,
Otter
go,
box is just too technical.
Yeah.
Otter box. Yeah. The yeah guy that likes to catch well, otters.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. When I think of that, I think of a phone case.
Yeah.
Some of these new phones you can film pretty good on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't need a camera. I got a new phone.
One of the things I'm going to be working on, we'll have before the next episode, is we'll have a Trapping TV website. We've already got the...
For next season.
Yeah. Domain and everything. And so it'll be a... Someone can just go there, and it'll be a quick, easy way, because you can just save that in your favorites and just go to and see what's going on.
That'd be cool. I mean, it's something we could even upload little clips here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Any products or anything... small things we can keep on it.
Or if someone has a question, that's one of the things, is all the questions I get from that stuff, someone's having a question like, well, because when you, the thing about a video, you're doing your thing and you're thinking in this certain frame of mind and everybody's in different stages of trapping and you think that, yeah, that made perfectly good sense.
Mm, oh, exactly.
And it makes no sense.
To someone else, yeah.
Yeah, so if someone were, and the way, like you're saying with the phones, it's so easy to upload stuff now that you could go, like, hey, Joe, no, I just
screwed
that
the
up.
Question.
Just, there
yeah
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But on this, you're talking about them asking questions. Who's going to spend the time answering? Is this something that...
I'm putting that on him. That's why I asked him.
Right now,
okay, so
on Facebook,
they email Mike, and Mike goes, well, they're trying to ask Clint a question, or they're trying to ask Brandon a specific question. Is that something you're going to be able to forward to them, and then
oh,
they...
Oh, yeah, we'll get it to you guys.
Okay.
Already, I think we're all getting messages,
yeah,
on Facebook, I think through Woofer Nation, people got my phone number and email. I know I've answered questions on email and Facebook numerous times.
Right.
Through private messaging.
So, can anybody think of anything else?
Nobody's here bashful to answer a question.
No. I'm already excited for next year.
Yeah,
we got a few months. Well, we're already in the end of June. Realistically, we only have 5-6 months before we start it all over again.
Yeah, we've already picked up neat things. I can't wait to modify the fur shed like we've seen at Tom Parr's. We can
we're actually going to start the season off a little different next year and show a little bit of trap history. We did some filming down at Tom Parr's museum.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's real interesting. We'll probably mix some highlight stuff in with that. Just a different look at trapping. I'm not into the collecting or anything, but I thought it was awesome.
Oh, there's a great
it was just awesome. Yeah,
the different trial and error, people's brain thoughts towards different devices. If you like trapping, it's something. If you're ever in the Columbus area, you need to stop at this museum, and I'd say you at least better give yourself, what, 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can spend a whole day there if you really, start getting into it. Tom was great. He's not bashful about talking, that's for sure.
Aspects every different direction. It's unbelievable. It's overload on your mind, yeah, almost.
Well, those traps I brought home, if those do what I think it's going to do, that's going to be some cool footage.
Yeah.
Because that could radically change predator trapping if that works.
Be interesting.
Mm-hmm. If the cows don't eat them. Because they're not made for cows.
I see a lot of aspects with those devices. I think Minky could even do something.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Some modifying. Each would have their own modification. But, hell, that would just be in the secret chapter.
Secret chapter?
Yeah, until you perfect it. Classified. We can't discuss what they are or what they look like.
Well, how'd the portable pocket sale go up here?
Oh, great. We absolutely sold out.
I'll tell you what, though. Those portable pockets are wonderful for just, instead of carrying a T-bar and a drowning system of a beaver bag, you can just stick them and go. I know, Mike,
I love them.
We caught coyotes, bobcats, and they're just awesome on the beaver line. That was so great that you gave us those to try out there in Alabama.
Not a problem.
Yeah, I don't think
I didn't get to
problem
try any.
That's because you didn't swing by to get any. You were playing hooky in North Carolina.
We caught just about everything that we went after with them.
Mm-hmm.
We've got anywhere.
The only thing that wasn't caught that was targeted, because no one really targeted them, was mink and muskrat.
That's true.
Right.
That's it.
That'll change next year.
Yeah, because we did the fox, the coyote, beaver, otter,
raccoons,
bobcats.
Mm-hmm. Gray fox.
Yep. So, that'll give you something to do next year. Catch some mink.
What
catch
about
some
my reality?
There's no
Woman of Orange County or whatever those shows are.
Orange is the New Black?
No. Oh,
reality of Orange.
Orange County. So Women of Orange County? Wives of Orange County?
I've seen. The Warden's Wife?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reality show and I don't know any of them.
I don't have cable. I haven't heard about them.
Kardashians. I've heard of that one.
What are they doing?
You're going to mess up my Kardashians.
Yeah. Well,
is that on MTV? We don't have cable out where I live now.
Okay, Mr. Host, go and finish this up. I want to hear. Well, I want you to blow our mind with the show ending.
Well, thanks for listening to Trapped in TV, where men can be men as long as women don't listen, and you can go do what you want, spit in the corner and have a great time, kick your heels and believe in the good USA. How'd that go?
I guess it'll work.
Thank you for listening to Trappin' Radio and watch Trappin' TV. I woke up this morning, tied my boots up, cause I knew it was gonna be a long day. Tied my truck up, grab my coffee, kiss my baby, got on my way. Cause I'm working till it's hurting. That's the only way to make an honest day's pay. So I'm working even when it's hurting. That's the only way to make an honest day's way. Yeah, I'm up early with the birdies, ready to get dirty. This ain't a song for you if you asleep at 7:30. I rise like the sun on the bag of the pines, at full throttle in a bottle like that homemade shine. I'm just trying to make a living, boss man tripping. My overtime strong, I don't pay him no attention. Money in a mason jar, country boy pitching. Old lady, three kids, take a lot to fill the kitchen. Fingernails dirty, my back stay hurting. You can bet I got a plan for every penny that I'm earning. I ain't asking for a raise, but I know the boss hurt me. Nobody on this job site's working like I'm working. 30 below to 100 degrees, and you ain't pushing hard enough if your hands don't bleed. I'm the first to clock in and the last to leave, and I ain't never had a problem rolling up my sleeves. I woke up this morning, tied my boots up, cause I knew it was gonna be a long day. Tied my truck up, grab my coffee, kiss my baby, got on my way. Cause I'm working till it's hurting, and that's the only way to make an honest day's pay. So I'm working even when it's hurting, and that's the only way to make an honest day's wage. I'm out the door by sunup, focused on the come up. We never sleep in, that ain't how we was brought up. I push it to the limit when the money gets low, and been known to work past when the plant whistle blows. Paycheck feeling like a lottery ticket, I might save a couple bucks if my kids don't spend it. Don't matter cause I love it every day of my life. Spend more time on the clock than I do with my wife. State to state, never late, putting miles on the road. Drop it off, fill it up, get me to my next load. Call my old lady, let her know I'll be late, and I ain't worried cause I know that she gon' save me a plate. I told you 30 below to 100 degrees, and you ain't pushing hard enough if your hands don't bleed. I'm the first to clock in and the last to leave, and I ain't never had a problem rolling up my sleeves. I woke up this morning, tied my boots up, cause I knew it's gon' be a long day.